the truth.
I'm gonna make him an offer, Captain.
Yeah, man, you can really tie the room together.
Don't judge me, Loki.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Why so serious?
Here's Johnny.
I want to play a game.
Welcome to episode 22 of Lords of Film. I am Kyle Davis, and joining me is the other lustrious Justin Shanlon.
Did you say lustrious?
Lustrious.
I feel like I'm in a like the Great Gatsby.
Feeling dapper today?
When you said I was illustrious, I just wanted to have like a garden party.
You know, as long as we're not having a big party on a cruise ship, then I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, because we all know how that ended for, like, Speed 2 Cruise Control. So, on today's episode, what we're going to do, instead of us breaking down trailers, because it's post-Super Bowl syndrome, like, both of us are, I wouldn't say, like, overtly exhausted from all the trailers that we've received over the last couple weeks, but
I'm exhausted from all the trailers.
it was like an onslaught of trailers over the course of like the last 2.5 weeks. You had the Ghostbusters trailer, then you had the Godzilla trailer, you had Deadpool versus Wolverine trailer, just tons and tons of trailers galore. You had the X-Men 97 trailer. So what we're gonna do on today's episode is, instead of us breaking down the trailer, we are going to review the three trailers that
we're just going to talk about stuff.
Yeah, so the three trailers that we frequently watched these last few days, the Ghostbusters trailer, X-Men 97, and then Deadpool versus Wolverine, or Deadpool and Wolverine. Is it Deadpool and Wolverine? What is it?
I think it was called Asshole and Friends. No, I think it's Deadpool and Wolverine, or Deadpool and the Wolverine.
Did I say versus?
I mean, the trailer literally does show them kind of fighting at some point. So
let's start with the X-Men 97 trailer. And I'll say this. When I was told that Kevin Feige was going to be producing X-Men 97, it was like a sequel to the X-Men the Animated Series, I was very excited. And then like the trailer came out recently, and I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of the animation, and I'm not trying to be a whore for animation when it comes to this upcoming series that takes place, what was it, like a year or two after the original animated series kind of ended?
Something like that, yeah.
But I just, I don't know. There's something weird about it. It doesn't look like my childhood. Like, you got to remember.
It's a little strange because I like, if they wanted to faithfully adapt a similar style from the older series, they probably could have.
Right.
But they're not, it's not modern, but it's also not like faithful to the original. It's like a weird blend of the two, and it has a little uncanniness to it. It feels a little off.
Right. And like the trailer kind of like hits you in like all the nostalgia feels and kind of like brings you back into, for me anyway, like I remember that those television series being, you know, you had Batman the Animated Series, you had Spider-Man the Animated Series, you had Gargoyles. I mean, we really don't talk about Gargoyles anymore for obvious reasons. and then you had X-Men the Animated Series, and all four of those had very distinct looks and feels to it. Like, this one feels a little bit more anime to me. Like, just kind of like the way that they move and everything. And I'm not trying to be a stickler, but like when it was announced that this was going to be a thing.
Yeah, I feel like if you are going to call it what you're calling it, you got to be faithful to the original.
Right.
And if you're going to do something else, then just call it something else.
And like, I'm not even, there's my two problems are this. It's the voice cast. You had a very distinct voice with Wolverine, but I'm trying to, let me go see if I can find who played Wolverine. But Kyle, take it away while I look for this.
Yeah. So I understand that, you know, they're not always able to get everybody back after that big of a period of time, but it's kind of strange that.
Hold up. It says the guy who's playing Wolverine, Cal Dodd, is playing him again in X. So the guy from Cal Dodd from the animated series from the 90s is coming back to play him in X-Men 97, but that does not sound like the same.
He does not sound like the same person, but granted it's been like 20 years. So like,
but that's the thing. Like they got someone who sounds like Storm. They got someone who sounds like the original Cyclops. They bring back the original Wolverine, but from what I've heard, and I don't know, maybe they haven't laid down like all his tracks and everything. Maybe they have someone else to kind of fill him in. But from that like 4 seconds of listening to Wolverine, that's not the Wolverine from my childhood. And like, it's just like these weird things. Like the story looks great, actually. It's kind of like bringing everything back. It's like a sequel. Like I was really hoping that they would kind of like forget about that hokey ending of like Charles Xavier dying in like the weirdest way. And he kind of like goes, and I don't honestly remember like what happens, cause it's kind of like alluded. He goes to heaven, but I think he kind of goes and hangs out with Lalandra. Like it's been many years since I've seen like the,
yeah, same here, but they're definitely leaning into the ending very heavily with the trailer.
Right. And so it's kind of at this point, it's kind of like, What are those things that we as fans need? We want, if you're gonna make the things look and feel and sound like our childhood, you need to really execute those things. You really need to go out and do the best job that you can. If you're gonna hit us over the head with a sack of nostalgia, you need to make sure that you're executing that smash into the back of our noggin. You need to knock us out with it. And with this trailer, it was a very solid trailer. I was like, oh my God, this actually looks better than I thought it would. But it's all about the execution with this. And to be fair, when it was announced that Kevin Feige was producing it, because it sounds like this is kind of like his segue into bringing the X-Men into the MCU.
In a more prominent way. I mean, technically it's already happened,
right?
But yeah, it's one of those blink, if you blink you might miss it kind of things,
right? And like he obviously you know, since Disney bought Fox, having Deadpool and Wolverine kind of like bringing back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, like there's a lot of interesting ways that they can go. And, but yeah, like seeing that trailer, I was kind of I'm not getting like the Last Jedi feels like in watching what I'm seeing, but I'm not like, like in awe of it either.
Yeah. I'm in a similar boat. Like don't get me wrong. You can play that theme song and it's going to get me kind of hyped up no matter what. But despite that, I was still kind of just like, yeah. Yeah, it's X-Men. It's an X-Men animated show, but it doesn't have the same vibe as the original for me. And it's right on that line, treading between being like an actual like faithful love letter to the X-Men fan base and just being a cash grab. I'm worried that it might teeter totter back into that cash grab land once it actually comes out.
Are you saying, Kyle, that Disney is trying to get more money from you?
No. Disney would never do that. They love their fans.
So here's the cast. Several cast members return from the original series to reprise their roles or voice. New characters including Kyle Dodd, Lenore Zan, George Buza, Catherine Disher, Chris Potter, Allison Seeley Smith, Adrian Huff, Christopher Britton, Allison Court, Lawrence Bain, and Rob Ruman. The revival was first discussed in June 2019 and formally announced November 2021. DeMeo and Castorina were involved by then. Chase Conley and Emiyu Namura also directed episodes of the series of the first X-Men project for Marvel Studios. Since then, the studio regained the film and television rights to the characters. Animation was provided by Studio Mir and is modernized version of the original series style. And, like, that's my thing. It's like, if it's a direct sequel and we're a month away from it premiering on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't it look and feel like the series from the 90s? It doesn't look like it. Like, even the first shot, like, of New York City, like, that doesn't, like, I don't remember any, like, establishing shots from New York City. It just...
What are you talking about? The X-Men are seminal when it comes to...
And another thing that's weird is really. There's only 10 episodes for this. So
do they say they're going to be like 20-ish minute episodes, or are they going to be like full length episodes?
I have no idea. Picking up after the events of X-Men: The Animated Series from 1992-1997, the X-Men face dangerous new challenges following the loss of their leader, Professor X.
Because if it's only like 10. 20 to 25 minute episodes, that's almost nothing,
right? Like, because I remember, like, what was, like, the original animated series for Batman was like a series order, what, like 60 something?
Yeah, that was, like, back in the days when the seasons were almost year round long.
Eric Lawal described the series as an extension of the original series that the Marvel Studios team had made their own. DeMeo and the writers tried to honor the earnestness and
I don't know about you, but every time they're like, the Marvel Studios made it their own, I get a little worried.
Yeah. Try to honor the earnestness and emotional sincerity that existed in the original series, which DeMeo believed was about the relationship of this found family and how they cared about each other and had disagreements. X-Men 97 also reflects the original series reflected upon society in the 90s. The series explores whether Xavier's dream of mutant and human coexistence is relevant to in the modern era. And specifically focuses on the importance of empathy. DeMeo pitched the series as honoring the original or bringing it into the modern world. Like, that, see, that's the thing. Like, how can you do that? You were setting this film back in 1997, pre-9/11. How can you bring this into the modern world? Like, what? So DeMeo described the series as a soap opera, which was the compelling idea to Winterbaum and the other executives. Eric and Julie Lewald said there was a 10-premise story arc written for the first season, which Julie called their Bible. X-Men 97 follows a similar X-Men team from the 90s series with the DNA of the original show. It sees the team reunite following an impactful event and explores how they were changed by it. Professor Xavier died. There's your impactful event.
What, he was changed by that?
What is happening to our, like it, first it happened with X-Men. I'm not sorry, not X-Men, but Star Wars. You had The Last Jedi and then the rise of Rey, right? Whatever the fuck that movie was called. Rey Skywalker.
Nobody cares.
And then it's just like, why can't they just make something good? Why do they always have to, like, hey, we're gonna bring your favorite shit back, and guess what? We're gonna put our own spin on it because that's what we like.
I feel like that's just a major issue of a lot of modern writing. It's like, yeah, we're gonna hire a writer And the writer's like, I want to put my own spin on a thing. Even if that betrays what that thing was.
Interesting, the very best, I haven't seen the last season, but the very best to do it so far has been Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Literally said, hey, that shit you like way back when, we like that shit too, and we're going to try to do a damn good job. We're going to try to bring it into the modern world, but they really...
That's the big thing. Like you're saying, it felt like they liked the original stuff, and they're like, we like that stuff too. Let's make more of that. Whereas I feel like so many writers are like, I don't like the original thing, so we're going to change it.
It's like they literally took the characters and like imagine a world in which they lived in, you know, in modern times, but remained faithful to the spirit and the emotionality and all that stuff from way back when. And there hasn't been I haven't seen the last season of the, you know, Cobra Kai, but that is the blueprint for what you need to do. Or you got to go the other route. You got to go Stranger Things route. Those are the two paths you take. You either take something from the past and you are inspired by it and you make something new from it, or you literally take those things, because we've seen this. We've seen this formula. It doesn't work. Like, could you just imagine if someone's like, hey, we really like the Peter Jackson movies, and we're going to try to do like a television series that inspired by the Lord of the Rings, that Peter Jackson. It's like, no, no, no. What you do is you just get those people and you just have them make it. You know, like, it doesn't, like, Cobra Kai is like the perfect version of that. Look, it's, you either have the Cobra Kai version or the Stranger Things version. I think that is the best route. And I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say, Kyle, but like, I feel like going forward, that is where it's either a left or a right. We're either going to take something that we liked from, you know, the Amblin Spielberg films from the 80s, you know, and we're going to kind of like turn it on its head and make our like own original idea from it and like steal liberally from that era. Or we're going to do something that we really love from back in the day and just really try to do right by the fans and not put our own junk in it.
Sounds like a whole lot of leaning into nostalgia.
Yeah, and I think that the Cobra Kai has to be the best version of that. And I'm going to give X-Men 97 a chance, but so far I'm just kind of like, as I was reading, you know, that stuff, I was just like, oh God, here we go again. Here we go again, Kyle.
How many times are they going to get away with this?
It just doesn't, like, I'm just worried, like, 15 years from now, if someone's like, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy that you really liked with Batman Begins, the Dark Knight, and some people really like the Dark Knight Rises, we're gonna redo those. Or, like, The Flash.
I hear he's a very popular character these days.
Remember what they did with The Flash? Like, hey, you know Michael Keaton, who might be the best Batman? We're going to bring him into this new movie and make him into Batman. And at the end, have George Clooney.
Oh, man. That feels so long ago. But that was only a couple months ago, Justin.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? But then, like, the tease at the end of that trailer, which was interesting. The last will and testament of one Charles Xavier was I have, like, all the rights to everything. Like, what? Like, maybe I missed that. What do you say?
It's like, yeah. I got a note here. It says, Magneto is the boss, and you got to listen to him. Signed, Charles Xavier. Ignore the handwriting. It's definitely his. Am I just overly jaded and thinking that I'm a little tired of Magneto just being the big bad boss of everything X-Men related?
Well, like, every X-Men movie has him like, oh yeah, he's like your everyone's friend, and then at the end he turns to evil.
He's an anti-hero until the last moment when he betrays the X-Men.
he's just a misunderstood because of his childhood.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love Magneto's character, and I love them in the original cartoons. I love them in the for live action movies, all versions of him. Can we do something different?
Like, my thing with Magneto is, like every X-Men movie, except for the first one, because he was just, like, evil throughout, right?
Yeah, he was very clearly the villain of the first one.
And then the second movie, he's like, yeah, I'm here to help you. And then he's like, nope, fuck you.
Actually, I have my own plans.
and then like, at the end, like, I'm trying to remember The Last Stand, but not really trying to.
He spent like the entire movie just recruiting his own army of mutants in that one.
Right. And then he loses his powers because they give him the cure, but then he gains his powers back. Yeah,
he gets his powers back somehow.
and then First Class, he decides that he's going to help recruit with Charles Xavier and be Charles Xavier's BFF. And then at the end of the film, he did a thing and became evil again.
Bum, bum, bum.
And then X-Men Days of Future Past, the same thing. And then X-Men Apocalypse, the same thing.
That did happen in Apocalypse, right?
Like, he was, like, trying to be, like, this really good person.
Which one of those movies is the one where his family dies?
Apocalypse.
That was Apocalypse? Okay.
Like he's working in a factory, and, like, in somewhere in Germany. Like,
yeah.
He's working, like, a toothpaste factory, and his family gets murdered for some reason.
It's like, well, I guess I gotta be an evil person now.
And then, what's the last one? Dark Phoenix?
Yeah, he,
I try to forget
that. I think he was actually missing for, like, half the movie, and then they just, like, find him halfway through the movie randomly. I don't remember the context behind it.
Yeah, he would just so happen to be passing Charles Xavier on the side of the street in New York City. No, that didn't happen.
I don't remember that.
They were Charles Xavier was at a chess competition, and then all of a sudden Eric was like, hey, you're not supposed to be here.
Wait a minute. Something fishy's going on.
You're a phony.
You're a big fat phony. Hey, this guy's a phony. We get a scene of Charles just like spray painting Magneto's car saying phony on it.
It's him, he's the phony. Hey everyone, it's the phony.
We're just making lighthearted humor and jest here, guys. I do think, you know, we like Magneto, but he's just a little overused at this point.
And he doesn't even look like the Magneto from, like, the original series.
Like, I feel like they tried to make him look more like Ian McKellen.
I thought they tried to make him more look like Pierce Brosnan, to Maybe. Be honest. What are your final thoughts of the X-Men 97 trailer? I give it a B-.
I would probably have given it, like, a C-, but the fact that they just jammed that theme song in there the entire time, it's a C+.
So B-, C+. We're not.
Yeah, okay. It's an okay trailer. I still have a couple of concerns about the series.
I have more than a couple.
But, I mean, it's more X-Men cartoons. If it wasn't for Disney Plus's track record in general, I'd probably be more excited about this.
You didn't like the Luke Skywalker or the Obi-Wan Kenobi series?
No.
Really?
No.
What was your issue with the Obi-Wan Kenobi series?
It was overly padded. The way certain scenes were shot, the composition of it just didn't make no sense with the way the characters overly were padded. Even.
What does that mean?
The scenes where they brought Anakin back to have a discussion over one felt contrived, felt forced. I didn't feel like the relationship worked even as well as it was in the original trilogy of movies. I can go on and on. I just felt like it was a very unnecessary thing. And the emotional beats they tried to hit did not land.
I mean, this is Lords of Film. Like, we can literally talk about anything.
We can do anything.
Right. And then the next trailer. You want to do Ghostbusters review or X-Men?
Let's stay in Marvel land. Let's talk about some Deadpools.
Deadpool and Wolverine. So we got the trailer during the Super Bowl, and it was really good, actually. I have minor complaints about it. Like, I felt like I was watching just one long extended sequence. So, like, obviously they start, like, he's having a birthday party, which he looks weirdly like Brolin. He looks like Brolin and Emilio Estevez had, like, a child. That would be his look in Deadpool. So the birthday scene, and all of a sudden these like weird police ninjas show up, and then
you've not seen Loki, have you?
No.
Okay. It's the TVA agents.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What are the time variant something?
They're the time police. We'll go with that.
Well, isn't their name like time variant something? Authority?
Maybe? That sounds about right.
I haven't seen Loki. I don't plan on. Like, no. Even though I hear the show's great, I just don't.
It's like the one good Disney Plus series.
I've noted that again. With that, so I hear Echo is horrible, so so the Time Lords show up,
the Star Lords,
the Time Lords from what's that show where he's a time traveler and his time traveling machine is a phone booth. What the fuck is that?
Oh, Doctor Who. Yeah.
Yeah. So the time lord from Doctor Who show up. And
it's like, and Matt Smith shows up and says it's Morbin time.
I love how they asked him, like, hey, have you heard about Morbin time? He goes, what? What is that?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. You talk about the trailer because I'm drawing a blank.
So I think they wanted to make one particular message very clear with this trailer. And that was, yes, it is going to be faithful to what Deadpool has been. It will be rated R. He's going to say some naughty words. He's going to make some crude jokes. Here you go.
Like, I guess my big issue with the trailer was I wanted to see Hugh Jackman in full yellow suit with mask on.
That was a very strange decision to not show him in this costume. Because, like, I know that sometimes they don't want to acknowledge leaks. This is one of the most leaked projects I have ever seen in my entire life. Like,
right. Like
everybody knows that Hugh Jackman is back as Wolverine and he's in his iconic yellow costume. Like, everybody already knows that.
Right.
The movie is literally titled Deadpool and Wolverine. So the fact that they're like, oh, the big cliffhanger at the end of this trailer. Oh, it's Wolverine Shadow. It's like, and then, okay.
Allegedly, Daniel Radcliffe's in the movie, or not in the movie, but like, because you have that scene where it looks like Wolverine in like a white suit. Apparently, that's supposed to be Daniel Radcliffe or someone else as Wolverine, because apparently he's just, like the entire movie, Deadpool's trying to recruit Wolverine, but he can't find the right Wolverine.
Multiverse of Wolverines, okay.
So, and I guess that's Daniel Radcliffe. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that could be funny.
But it's just interesting. It was a good trailer, but like my big complaint was it just seemed like everyone's like, oh my god, the action looks great. And I was like, the action to me didn't really do much for me. Like there wasn't anything out there that I was like, oh my god, like it's like. Like everyone played that like GIF him like, with the guns and like trying to load it and everything, and it's like doing like some weird.
Yeah, it was okay. It was pretty good. Like, but like I've seen that from the other Deadpool movies. And I feel like they did it better in the first two.
Or The Matrix. Or
The Matrix, you know, yeah.
Or pick a movie that has gunplay in it, and they do that sort of thing. John Wick, like it didn't do much for any. But I know everyone's sharing that GIF. I really liked it. Like I said, like it felt like, oh, you know, he's back in as Deadpool. Hugh Jackman's back as Wolverine. Why not just have him? If you didn't want to show him in the costume, why not just have him have Hugh Jackman as Logan? You know, like talking shit to Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
Like, why not have that? It was just like I said, like a weird thing. Cause it felt like that when they were like, you have the TVA in the hall room, and then Deadpool kind of suits up, and then they're like out in the snow somewhere, the wilderness. And again, he's fighting the TVA again. Everything just seemed like a continuation of like one long scene. Like it didn't seem like, we got a ton of, like, I don't know what this movie's about. What's this movie about? Like, it didn't do a good job kind of like.
No. From what I know of, spoiler-wise, they did not convey that message very well.
So, and like, that's my thing. Is like, all right, we've had two Deadpool movies. What's this third one? Like, apparently he's being recruited to join the Avengers. And he sees all the sequences, like all the things that happen to the Avengers. And apparently there's like one scene from Age of Ultron that he's in. Like he's behind a hill or something. And obviously I've only seen this trailer twice. So, but apparently that's supposed to be like the opening of like Ultron, where you have all the Avengers heroes like jumping in slow motion.
He's supposed to be there too.
Okay. I guess. I don't know. Like I said, like it did, like it was a good trailer and I really liked it. It was like entertaining and it was like, but for me, I know it's a teaser, but
here's what I'll get into. You might agree with me. You might not. Deadpool is a character. He is very out there,
right?
There's nobody else like Deadpool, and my issue is throughout this trailer with the jokes he's making, the way the story's being teased, the characters that are being included, like it's a little out there, but not, it's not that crazy. So for me, this feels like it's a very safe and conservative Deadpool project.
So you're saying that you think this is a more watered down version?
This feels like a watered down version of Deadpool. Even though, yeah, he does say the naughty words, it's going to get an R rating. It still feels like there is a line that he can't cross. Like,
well, here's my problem.
Like the fact that he is in a Marvel movie now, there are so many jokes he could make, but they'd be at the expense of Disney and Marvel. So he can't go too crazy with it.
Like my thing is, I'm excited for Hugh Jackman to return, getting him to come back, you know, when he said, but you got to remember now, the last time we saw Hugh Jackman as Wolverine was in Logan.
Yeah.
That was probably the best way to end someone playing a character in the history of cinema. You need to make sure you're hitting this out of the park.
Yeah, if you're digging him out of his grave for a movie, a team up movie, he better be landing.
Like if you can't get a single, you can't get a double, you can't even get a home run. This has to be a grand slam. Like this has to be the best version of this character. And like I said, like what James Mangold did with that, with his second Wolverine film and Logan, like that trailer is one of the top probably top five trailers I've ever seen. Just best, you know, with that Johnny Cash music.
Yep.
And those things matter to me. There were grown men in the movie theater in 2017. It's been 7 years now. Crazy to think. It's been 7 years since that movie came out. But there were grown men in the movie theater when I was literally sitting next to my ex-girlfriend, and men next to us were crying at the end of that film. There has to be, you have got to do all that you can to make sure that this movie does a wonderful job of bringing him back, which is an interesting way. Like, how are you going to bring him back? Is he just another version? Because I read something that this timeline takes place before Logan. And if that's the case, okay, like, that's a way to get away with it. But at the same token, like, you have to do, you really, 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 really got to do, like, a really, like, it'd be like bringing Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne Batman back.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, you know, for our issues with The Dark Knight Rises, you know, like, it's still better than, you know, a lot of the DC stuff that we got over the last, like, 10 years. But to bring him back into a movie, you know, like, I feel like Michael Keaton's Batman can get away with it a little bit more since it's been so long. And anything that they did wasn't, like, super egregious with his character. It was more the film, you know, the film itself. Whereas, you know,
it was only a light slap on the face. It wasn't very heavy handed.
No, I wouldn't even say it was a slap in the face. Like, I think the death sequence was, like, where he kind of, like, lost me.
Yeah.
But, it, like, that stuff wasn't as egregious as, you know, the Luke Skywalker stuff and The Last Jedi, where you completely go against character that had been established for 40 years at that point. So, like, that's just – when we talk about nostalgia, like I said, like, you have to really care about the characters and not want to put your own junk into it. Like, what Mangold did is he literally adapted a version of Old Man Logan. Now, the question is, where does X-23, does Daphne King show up in this film? So that's where you kind of like, I'm curious.
It kind of goes back to what we were saying about Logan. It's like, do you want to open that can of worms? Like, are we doing this?
That's the thing. Is like, where do you kind of lead off? Like, what kind of logistical jumps and logic are you willing to take? To take that film's going to be stuck. Logan's going to be studied. Like, it's one of those films that, like, when it came out, it was lauded and appraised. But it made money and everything. But I think it's going to be one of those films that kind of, like, as it ages, people are going to start coming back to it more and more as one of the best comic book films of all time. Okay. And not to say that they didn't get the its flowers when it came out in 2017. But it's one of those films that's kind of like, it is
a little strange, because, like, I don't, when the topic of greatest comic book movies of all time come up, I do feel like Logan does not show up as often as it should.
Right, because I think you get The Dark Knight, and then you get Endgame or Infinity War, you know.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2's in there. I mean, obviously Superman the movie. But I just think it's one of those films that...
It is the definitive Wolverine.
Right.
He's in the upper echelon for sure.
Like, as time kind of goes... As that movie ages, and, like, that's the thing, is, like, if this movie doesn't do justice to, like, what had been established in Logan, it can take that veneer off of that film and really do a disservice to the aura that's kind of, like, surrounds Logan. Like, I just remember seeing that trailer. I was like, holy shit, we're going to get a great film. When that Logan trailer came out.
And it delivered.
And like Deadpool, I'm not saying that's the elements that are baked into it, it's kind of like we got to see if the cake rises, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to make sure that it, when it comes out of the oven,
it's too much baking soda in it.
So it's playing a very delicate balance, and I think that the way that Deadpool kind of it just all has to do with execution. Obviously, that's like, that being said, obviously that's all films. I mean, look at Madame Web. That movie gets leaked. Can we watch that and just review the shit out of that movie?
Oh, I would love to talk shit about Madame Web.
I've seen so many things online. I'm like, what? What the fuck? So, but yeah, that's my, like, I give that movie trailer an A-. Like, it did a really, like, it was hella entertaining. I was like, ooh, like, it comes out July. All right, I'm here for it. So it kind of just all depends on that execution. Any final thoughts on the Deadpool? And because you're like,
Well, my general feelings about a lot of Marvel stuff right now is just very, Like, they've lost me. I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for a while, but the recent projects, like the past 2 or 3 years or so, I've just been like, this is just not good. You've lost me as a fan. You got to win me back. Could Deadpool and Wolverine win me back? Maybe. I think it has a better chance than some of the other stuff they're doing, but we'll have to wait and see.
So what grade would you give that trailer?
B. Give it a B.
I'm an A-. A-, B+, A-. So, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how that film. And, like, it's kind of weird. Like, this movie comes out in February, or it comes out in July, and we've just now getting our first trailer in February.
We're getting our teaser trailer in February.
It's kind of like, they're kind of like, should we just go the route of Aquaman 2?
This rate they might. Although, to be fair, Aquaman 2, it didn't do as badly as people thought it would.
I still haven't seen it yet, so I don't think I'm gonna catch that.
This man really, like, gave us homework and said, hey, go watch Aquaman 2, and then he didn't do it.
And then I still got to review it.
He still got to review it. Great times.
And then lastly, Ghostbusters. And what's the Ice Age? What's that film called?
Empire of Ice. I literally just watched the trailer and I already forgot. Like, Frozen Empire.
Oh, I was gonna say, is this Mr. Freeze?
It's called Frozen Empire. There we go.
Of all the three trailers that we've talked about so far, this one is the best. Now, say what you will about X-Men 97, say what you will about Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm struggling with that fucking title, man. Like, that title, I don't know if that's a good title if I keep struggling with it. Because I keep wanting to say Wolverine versus Deadpool or Deadpool versus Wolverine. But the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, saw it 2 weeks ago. What a great job that they did with that trailer. Starting the trailer off with Peck. One of my favorite characters, one of my favorite tertiary characters of anything, you know, got William Atherton back as, you know, the devious Peck. Starting them off with that and, you know, having Paul Rudd in it and then bringing Ernie Hudson back into it and bringing, you know, there's so many things that I really, 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 really just enjoyed about that trailer. You know, like, it felt like they were able to balance so many different things with this movie trailer. It's like, all right, it's a continuation from the first film. The first film was like, it didn't do a ton of business, but what it did do is, like, it was a critical darling. You know, did you see that last film?
Afterlife?
Yeah.
I did see it, yeah.
Like, just a really solid movie. Like, just did a very good job of kind of, like, reestablishing that world bringing in new characters, but kind of like the Cobra Kai effect, right? But I still think Cobra Kai does just a better job, you know. But this film looks, they're back in New York City, you know. There's just a lot of good things to really enjoy about this. This one's a solid A for me. You know, tall, dark, and horny is a hilarious line.
I'm always down for some Bill Murray.
Like, Bill Murray is a national treasure. It just did a good, really, just what a first trailer. Like, everything that I wanted in, you know, the X-Men 97 or the Deadpool and Wolverine, they did, you know, they delivered on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Just an A all around. You know, you really just everything, you know, they mentioned mentioned Harold Ramis, Egon Spengler, you know, Dan Aykroyd's in it throughout. You know, he's kind of like the exposition type of a character like he was in the first two films. It just felt like this movie was made with love. But at the same token, it's kind of like, all right, like we have established our new sets of characters. Let's bring the new sets of characters in with the old sets of characters like they did in X-Men Days of Future Past, and just really did a marvelous job of reestablishing, like just having like the, you know, the car, you know, racing, and there's new technology. There's like, you know, there's like a drone to capture the ghost now. It's just like, there's so many different, I don't, like, this might be the movie of the summer. Like, this might be the best movie this summer. Like, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or anything, but I just I'm really digging the vibe of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's like I said, every movie's all about execution. There's a few things that I'm a little nervous about, the idea, like, except there's like a teaser trailer where they're kind of at a beach and then everything kind of gets frozen. And I was like, but like this trailer did a much better job to kind of get me hyped for this film. So what are your thoughts on that, Kyle?
I would just say I'm actually a little surprised. Not that I think it's a bad trailer by any means. I guess I think it is a pretty solid trailer overall. I just didn't realize you were like this into Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't remember the last time I've ever seen you talk about Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is kind of like one of those, it's like a seasonal film. Like, I always watch it around Halloween. Like, but if it's like on TV, like the first or the second one, like I always watch it. I didn't really care for like the all girl version, not because I'm some, you know, anti-feminist. I can't believe
you're so sexist, Justin. God,
I just didn't care for it. Like, I just thought that Paul, the guy who directed it, played it too safe, and Dan Aykroyd was like, that you need to have a, like, he's on the record saying like Dan Aykroyd wanted a little bit more edge, or Paul wanted it to be, you know, play a little bit more, a little safer. It's just kind of like we forget, like that movie's just like completely forgotten because like everyone dies and like all the original characters die in that film.
The controversy about that movie is so much more memorable than the actual movie.
And like, it's not terrible, but it's just like, it just tried to do too much to establish, like, and I like the Chris Hemsworth character in that. Like, I thought that was like really interesting what they did with it. Like, there's enough things to like about it, but I didn't love it. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, but it's kind of like your childhood. Mm-hmm. Like, for me anyway, cause I'm a child of the 80s. So just seeing, you know, the first and the second one. I think the first one might be one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It's just like this joke still land. Like when the mayor's like, is that true? And then Bill Murray's character's like, yes, this man has no dick.
good stuff.
Like, it's just a really good, like, they just are able to thread the needle of funny and scary, and I feel like that's kind of like what worked with The Dark Knight, like that, because the Joker was scary, but the same token, like there's moments in the film where he's just brilliantly like hysterical, like he brings the comedy to it as well. So mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. Do I talk about it a lot? No. Like, we kind of, Ghostbusters, like, for me, has always kind of got lost in the mix between Lord of the Rings, Batman, Superman,
right,
books. I used to have a proton pack when I was a kid. I'm sure I'm still at my mom's house. But yeah, like, it just kind of gets lost in the mix. Like, we're either talking about Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Batman, Superman, X-Men, Deadpool, Oscar movies. It's just one of those films. It's one of those series of films, like, oh yeah, you know, those films from then.
It's comfort food. It's something you can always go back to.
Right. It's kind of like the first Independence Day, right? Like I was thinking about that today. I was like, wow, like, that movie, like, just really still works. Like, Jeff Goldblum, you know, Will Smith's in it, Welcome to Earth. And talk about A Close Encounter. Like, it just, you know, we're going to give it a cold. Like, it's just like one of those films that kind of, like, because you get caught up in so many franchises that you just kind of, like, forget about the film. Like, so, like, I know you don't use fruit for your mobile device. And, like, this is how I'm going to kind of, like, to, like, link the two things. So, like, whenever I buy a new album, like iTunes in your phone works is, like, when you buy a new album, like, from iTunes, like, it puts it, like, the forefront. Like, it's like the last thing you bought. It's, like, at the very top.
Right, it's the top of the
and
list.
As you're going through, like, you're losing album, because it only goes so far down. Like, it's not going to have all the albums that you purchased. So, like, as you're, you know, buying new music and updated music, like, something that you bought from, like, 4 years ago is no longer in, like, that top, you know, 40 albums or 50, whatever, how many albums are in that little thing. That's kind of like Ghostbusters. You're kind of like going through your music and, like, oh yeah, I forgot I had that album. I'm going to listen to that. It's been a long time since I heard it.
Right.
You know,
crank it back up, put it back up to the top.
So it's like one of those things, like it's not that the films have been omnipresent for so long in my life. Like, so yeah, like, I love Ghostbusters. Like, I just hope this film kind of delivers, where the second one, Ghostbusters 2, kind of, like, really they're fighting a painting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, to me, like, A for me. So really, you're curious your thoughts.
So here's the thing. Like, Ghostbusters was a little bit before my time. I did not grow up watching Ghostbusters. It was something I had to go back to later in life. And I will say, as an adult, when I went and watched Ghostbusters for the first time, I appreciated it. It was undeniably charming. It was funny. It was an entertaining movie. It's something I could sit down and watch pretty much any time and have a good time with it. With that said, though, I don't have that attachment to the Ghostbusters franchise that you do. So for me, I'm like, yeah, Ghostbusters 1, it's great. Ghostbusters 2, it's okay. It's still a great cast of characters. It's still enjoyable somewhat. The reboot and Afterlife was okay, but, like, I was not a fan necessarily. I was just like, yeah, these are things that exist. They are talked about by other nerds, but it was not really anything that appealed to me necessarily. So I wasn't really paying attention to this new one coming out until Justin was like, yo, we're going to talk about Ghostbusters. Watch the trailer. I'm like, okay, let me go watch the trailer real quick. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Like, I don't know if, like, I'm going to go out and see it, but I was like, yeah, this looks like one of the better Ghostbusters movies in recent times.
Remember I know you're a huge Power Rangers fan, right, Kyle?
I love me some Power Rangers.
All right, so remember when the trailer for the 2017 Power Rangers movie came out? You're like, oh, this looks really good. And then it kind of, like, didn't deliver at the end. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure everybody thought it looked like shit, and it was way better than we anticipated. I thought the trailers for that looked horrible, but I ended up walking out of the Power Rangers movie being like, that was actually really good.
Like that's just kind of like how I felt about the last Ghostbusters film. Like I felt like the last Ghostbusters film is a better all-around film than the Power Rangers film, and even though Bryan Cranston is Zordon, I just felt that the Power Rangers film from 2017 took too long to get them to be Power Rangers.
I can see that. I don't think they actually morph up until the last act of the movie.
we're gonna do this, we're gonna make Power Rangers like Batman Begins. Well, Batman's Batman for like an hour and like 15 minutes.
Hey, that's the problem. Like, if you think about it, back when Power Rangers first came out on TV, I don't know if they got their powers and they were like morphing up and fighting the putties in the first episode within like 10 minutes. So it's like, speed this thing up a little bit.
This trailer like looks way better than the last Ghostbusters movie to me.
Yeah.
Like if Power Rangers is one of those things, like, why can't they crack that code? They have action. They got story. They got all this diverse cast of characters. They have, you know, they have this Yoda presence. They have like dinosaurs, you know, they have like
the dinosaur robots.
Right. It's like Transformers meets Star Wars meets Cobra Kai. It's like, why can't they crack that formula? It makes no sense to me. And like the Power Rangers movie wasn't like, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I just felt really slow.
Yeah, I can see that.
So like the pacing was way bad. It wasn't as exciting. Honestly, what that movie needs is like Christopher Nolan.
Like, no, we don't need to have our eardrums blown out. I am Zordon.
I think that's what it was, though. I wasn't that.
I think it was a little bit like that. It had a very bassy, synthy score, if I remember. So,
and like it just like I said, it's like, I don't know, like that's just like what Power Rangers is to you, Ghostbusters is to me. Like, like I said, like it kind of gets lost on the wayside, right? You have all these other things that we talk about, like all these other loves of all these different things.
I don't know what you're talking about, Justin. I watch Power Rangers every day.
Do you?
No, it's one of those things, like you said, it comes up every once in a while, like maybe once a year, I'll be like, oh, I'm into movies of Power Rangers. Let me go watch something real quick.
Right. It's like, for me, like Ghostbusters is like seasonal. Just like, you know, because it's fun. It's funny. It's kind of scary in moments. It's kind of intense. You know, it's meant to be seen around like Halloween, right? So, would you give a grade to this Ghostbusters trailer?
I give it a B plus.
That's surprising.
I liked it better than the Deadpool trailer,
which is weird to me. Like, I thought you'd be like filleting the Deadpool trailer.
I almost did. No, I got enough. I got enough chuckles out of it.
If they would have showed him in his suit with the mask on, finally,
A minus.
I do like it. Like that's like I'm still thinking about the trailer. The trailer is really weird to me. It does like all the, like the Deadpool-y things that you're expecting, but then it kind of gets like weirdly lost in like this.
Yeah, I kind of go back to what I was saying earlier. Like it feels like it's watered down Deadpool.
Like not even that for me. Just feels
it feels Deadpool if he was a razor blade, but it's a little dull. Needs a sharpening.
It just feels too multiversal for me. I'm kind of getting
there's also that aspect. I feel like almost unanimously people are burnt out on multiverses.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, we're going to have Deadpool traveling across the multiverse to find different variants of Wolverine. It's like, hey, can we end the multiverse saga already, please?
Now, what if they brought Clint Eastwood in for a scene as Wolverine? And he's like, instead of him being Wolverine, he's just like Logan, just chilling at a bar or something, smoking a cigar.
I mean, I do like Clint Eastwood. You know, he just tells Wolverine to F off, or Deadpool to F off. Sure, let's do it.
First class.
Yeah, just like recreate that scene of Clint Eastwood.
I remember seeing that. I'm with one of my ex-girlfriends, and her brother-in-law is a huge X-Men fan. It's like, oh my God, when Wolverine shows up in the movie, He flipped the fuck out. Don't you fucking spoil that. I'm putting a little rose on it. He didn't freak out like that, but he definitely like I didn't say like how he showed up. I just said he showed up. Like, come on, it's X-Men.
What? There's a Wolverine cameo in an X-Men movie?
I'm just like, why wouldn't there be Wolverine and one of the oldest characters in the X-Men canon showing up in a 1950s spy type of X-Men movie? Of course.
Next, you're going to tell me that R2-D2 and C-3PO are in a Star Wars movie.
Like, it was, like, hilarious. I'll never forget that for all, as long as it just kind of, like, don't spoil the fucking movie. I can't remember. It was just, like, something like that. I was like, damn, bro.
Like, relax.
Well, chill. Obviously, there's reasons why we're no longer together. I mean, that was 10 years ago, but it's still kind of funny to me that I just remember that. Of all the things to remember about that horrible relationship, it was kind of like, I remember her brother-in-law just flipping the fuck out. Hilarious. So that's going to be it for episode 22 of Lords of Film. Like, it's just been a weird time. Like, we're in the in-between. Like, it's like, it's from like Christmas until like March. There's really no news. Like, there has been like no real like good DC news. There really hasn't been like a ton of Marvel news. So there's not a lot of things for us to talk about. So, and
look at the bright side. We could have spent the past hour talking about Suicide Squad kill the Justice League.
I was just going to say that. I was like, I'm waiting for Kyle to review Suicide Squad and kill the Justice League, because I ain't doing that shit.
Here's the thing. It is a $70 game.
It is
a $70 game.
Holy
that
shit.
You can finish the story in like 8 hours. But then you got just a whole bunch of slog in between all that. I ain't buying that. So until they make the game like free to play, I'm not buying. I'm not playing it.
Are you gonna have you watching like YouTube videos to see the gameplay or anything?
I've watched a lot of coverage about it.
And
it's about what you would expect.
And
no, so the general consensus on Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, for those that are not in the know, for the uninitiated, it is a overall relatively average, serviceable, comedic Suicide Squad game.
And like, it's a shooter.
It's like a looter shooter.
What's
if you're like, if you guys are familiar, Fortnite, imagine Fortnite gameplay kind of. But the problem is because it's just very.
So hold up.
Okay.
Hold up. I've never played Fortnite. So what does looter shooter mean?
It means it's all about shooting enemies and getting new guns from the enemies. Numbers go up. This gun does 1% more damage than the other gun, so I'm getting the new gun.
So it's kind of like Call of Duty?
Justin, please. No. No, it's... No, like, literally, it's just the exact same gun, but it does 1% more damage.
What? So you're saying Call of Duty is a better game franchise than Fortnite?
I mean, I'm throwing them both in the trash bin, to be honest, but...
Well,
Call of Duty's gameplay would be a lot better in a Suicide Squad game, I'll say that.
Like, I literally said Call of Duty, and my series, like, trying to get me information about Suicide Squad or
what the hell. But no, so the problem with Suicide Squad is it's average at best, but because it is a Warner Brothers licensed game from Rocksteady, the creators of the Batman Arkham games, it feels like it's a massive step down from what they're used to, for what they can do. So it's just a disappointment overall.
And there was some news about like Sefton Hill, right? Like, I think you sent me some information about Sefton Hill kind of like leaving and starting his own.
Yeah,
company.
Yeah. So, I don't remember when this came out, but a while ago, the founding members of Rocksteady left Project. Now, maybe they just said, "Hey, this game is far enough along. We don't need to stand by to watch it get out the door." But I'm under the impression that maybe they weren't very happy with what was going on between Rocksteady and Warner Brothers, and so they decided to get out of there and form their own studio.
I just don't understand like the idea of a game about killing your favorite heroes, right? Like,
you can do something with it in a like kind of a satirical or maybe in like a commentary type of way, but they don't do anything interesting with it. They're not like exposing the flaws of these characters or anything. They're just evil versions of the Justice League that you shoot with bullets until they die.
That sounds hella lame. And like that's the thing is like there hasn't been enough news for us to really, you know, like once Legacy starts filming, once we get more information about Creature Commandos, once we get more news about the DCU, like we've just been waiting for Legacy to start filming. Like once that starts happening, once we get our first stills from Superman Legacy of Superman, Clark Kent, Lois Lane, you know, Green Lantern, you know, Lex Luthor, like that, like it's kind of like it's just like the calm before the storm.
Right.
So we're just and like we always kind of say this, like, well, there's not news. Well, there's only so much time in a day for the both of us. And if we're not like super passionate about something, you know, like usually we do like trailer breakdowns, but there was like really no. There wasn't any reason for us to do a trailer breakdown for any of these trailers. So, like, and like we're just waiting for news. We're waiting for more news. Like, you know, like they're just like from until the Oscars are over with. I don't think we're gonna get any casting
for a little bit.
Like, there's a rumor going around that, you know, Henry Cavill has been cast as, like, Dr. Doom or Captain Britain or, you know, something in the Marvel Universe. I mean, that'd be interesting, but, like, there hasn't been anything definitive. You know, everyone's just kind of waiting for, like, I don't know. I'm waiting for Legacy to start.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Creature Commandos come out this year?
Yes. So we got...
That's something, I guess.
The second Joker film, we got Creature Commandos, and then next year is when Superman Legacy. I mean, and there, you know, like the last thing, like we kind of talked about. I mean, the last news that we talked about was Supergirl casting, and which was great and everything. We kind of broke that down, and it just, like I said, we're just waiting for the next slate of films to be like, hey, you know, Batman Brave and the Bold, oh, there is something during the, I don't know if I really don't care for this guy, but Jeff Schneider, he has his own like podcast now, and one of his co-hosts is kind of like in, I wouldn't say like an insider or anything, but he said that not Jeff Schneider, but his co-host said that he has heard that Andy Muschietti is not directing Batman Brave and the Bold.
As much as I hate to say it, I think that'd be good news.
Yes. But like,
I don't ever wish ill for people and people losing a job that they have, you know, that I don't want that, but I don't think Andy Muschietti was the right person for the director seat.
No. And like, but once Flash came out and like after the first weekend and like the critical drubbing that it received, and then obviously the face plan at the box office, I was like, he's not directing this film. So I think it was, hey, you know, we want him to direct it and he's in talks to direct it. He's gonna direct it, but they're like, I just don't see how James in the studio can trust him to direct that film. Like, it would have to be heavily produced. There'd have to be a very strong producer on that. And I just don't think that James Gunn has the time to, or Peter Safran have the time to just be on the set every day, making sure that that film is as good as it can be. So,
right.
But yeah, there hasn't been a writer announced for Batman. There hasn't been a actor cast for Batman. We're kind of waiting for I think the Penguin comes out this year too, but there hasn't been any real news on Batman too. There hasn't been any, you know, like everything's kind of like a slow.
Like I can feel that the build up. Like we're gonna get an explosion of stuff at some point, but we got to get to the finish line first.
So, like, I'm really looking forward to Superman Legacy when that filming starts. It's like, the weird thing is that movie's only filming for like 4 or 5 months, but it seems like that movie should film for much longer, like 6, 7, 8 months. But yeah, like, it's just kind of like, we're kind of like waiting. I'm really looking forward to seeing that suit for the first time. I really think he's going to go all Fleischer era Superman-esque type of look to it. So, or Kingdom Come look.
Ooh.
So I'm expecting, you know, a black background behind the Superman insignia. I'm expecting red underwear, you know, outside the pants. So, like I said, it's kind of like we're waiting to see what's gonna. Once we kind of see what that suit looks like, that'll kind of give us a good indication where this DCU is headed. Because I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little nervous. I don't know if mainstream audiences will be okay with Fleischer era Superman costume.
Like, I guess we'll find out.
Like, and maybe that'll be something that we talk about, you know, the look of the DCU on the next episode. So, but yeah, that's going to do it for episode 22 of Lords of Film. I am Justin Shanlon, and that is Kyle Davis.
Peace.